Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Wait, are you trying to get in on my action there, bro? You cock blocking me? Sorry, are you C blocking me? I forgot you're a family man. You C blocking me, bro?
This is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Recorded live in the Jeanette D. Moses Memorial Studio, I'll be your host today. My name is JP. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's episode, Salt Lake City Kickstarter, Yelp, and CAWS. Kickstarter is a recent and very innovative website that allows people to get funding from a community by offering them certain perks or benefits, or just by proffering their undying support of people that give them money to make projects lift off the ground. Art, film, media, anything really. And they recently launched curated pages where organizations can galvanize support for different locations or different styles of community. And recently, Art Raymond, the Deputy Director of Communications for the Mayor, Ralph Becker, and Bianca Shreve, Assistant to the Chief of Staff for that very same office, realized that Salt Lake City could benefit from such a project as well. I'm joined today by Art and Bianca. Thank you for joining us.
First of all, thanks so much for having us. We're excited about the opportunity to talk about this new addition to the Mayor's website. And I guess we're of course, always looking for ways to connect with the community and reach out, especially to folks that we maybe don't have the best connections with. And Kickstarter, of course, is the microfinancing program is something that's been on our radar for some time now. We've watched it really blossom in other cities, and certainly has a small but growing presence here in Salt Lake City. And we thought we could certainly play a role in the mayor's office in connecting folks from our creative community to other people around who want to be a part of these projects and be supportive in a way that's really nominal. If you want to be, as most people know, you can be a small level contributor, but really be, find a way for us to be a mediator between people in our creative community and folks who want to support them.
And Bianca, your role at the office and what you bring to this project.
So I am the assistant to the mayor's chief of staff. So I work on various policy issues, but fortunately I also get to work with the mayor's office communications team on social media outreach, and that, means largely Twitter and Facebook, as well as our city newsletter and our YouTube. And so for me and my role, social media can definitely play an enormous role in the success of Kickstarter and kind of promoting those pages through our social media nodes. So it's all kind of interrelated, and so Art and I work together to get the Kickstarter page on our website, and we'll hopefully work together to continue to see it flourish.
And what's the role in general of the mayor's office and the goings-on of local business?
It's multifaceted and it's busy. We have lots of different ways we work on, cultivating a good environment for local businesses, and we also are very proactive directly to in the ways that we can be to offer support and even financial help in the ways that we can. One of the programs that we've had going on for some years now, which actually just had a record year of funding last year, is the Salt Lake City Small Business Revolving Loan Fund that is open to any business in Salt Lake City. It's for for-profit businesses, so particularly for small business people, entrepreneurs, that you can get funding for expansions, marketing, new product development. It's a pretty wide open playing field. It's money that's, again, specifically geared toward local businesses. It's just open to local businesses, and it's a program we're looking to expand right now. We just fund it with money that comes from the city, but because it's been so popular, and in light of these kind of escalating popularity and our ability, we want to be able to help more businesses. We're looking to partner with some private entities so we can increase that funding and therefore help more businesses. Another thing that we have going on right now is neighborhood business grants, and this is not as big a fund as the revolving loan funding, however, but it does something really cool. It's available to neighborhood areas like 9th and 9th, 15th and 15th, Sugar House, the new 9th and 9th at 9th South and 9th West, and it's money for these little neighborhood business districts to market their identities. So, and that's just a couple of things. You know, we're always just generally in support of local businesses. We've got some great newer local businesses and some city-owned space on Main Street. We did a press event with them a few months ago. Race Barber Shop, the Reggae Shop, I can't remember what it's called.
Twisted Roots.
Little tailor shop that offers custom suits, and then a local, the Southam Gallery. Those are four businesses, kind of all new to Main Street, all in city space, all local. We feel like those local businesses are really those are the businesses that establish the character of our city, our little neighborhood business districts were.
And Bianca, how did you first hear about the site? How did you get interested in it?
We pay attention to what other municipalities are doing well. I think Portland has done a really great job at using Kickstarter well. So I would probably say that just from paying attention to what other cities are doing, I probably first paid attention to Kickstarter through that way, and they've done amazing things with the projects that they've selected. And so we find that, you know, there's so many exciting, creative, inspirational things happening in our community that we felt it was a completely appropriate opportunity for us to do the same. So it should really take off. We're really looking forward to it.
And Art, how did this, or at what point rather, did this turn into a governmental project for Salt Lake City?
Well, I guess when we decided to make it one. I mean, it's kind of cool because, you know, Kickstarter is very kind of democratic operation. You know, people, you put your project up and people get to cast their votes with their donations. It's maybe the ultimate democratic process for financing. We really love both the grassroots aspect of it and the fact that everybody who contributes really becomes a part of the project. If for people not familiar with Kickstarter, if you take a look at how it works, you get little perks at different funding levels. And these perks are really, you know, you get a little, say it's a movie project, maybe you get a discount ticket or a free ticket to the premiere, or if they're creating something, you get a break on that, or you get t-shirts or some kind of swag. And I just think that's a really cool thing for the mayor's office to be a part of, and we're a part of it in a way that we're just trying to connect this great creative community we have here with, again, you know, folks we think will support them. We're just trying to be a trumpet for this part of our community.
And by the time this episode airs, you'll have launched this this page. Have you already started corralling the projects you wanted to see, and what are those kind of projects like?
Yeah, we're looking at the projects all, you know, every day now, because we're excited about, you know, this upcoming role we're going to play with a curated page. And I think, you know, I've been talking to the mayor about it. He thinks it's a really cool idea. It's very, very behind it. But one of the cool things is just the variety of projects. I think right now we were just taking a look at it. You can contribute to a project that is going to eventually is working on putting together a pack of 12 temporary monster tattoos designed by kind of well-known animators. Another great project, I think, is a local heavy metal band that is just trying to finance a tour to the Northwest. Pat's Barbecue, you know, a local business that a lot of folks probably know and have frequented, is working on a line of their own barbecue sauce. A recent project that is already funded that we thought was really cool was a person who designed a new product. I think it's called a hot pot that actually generates electricity as you're using the pot for cooking. So when you're out camping, you're, you know, blowing some water for tea or whatever, you simultaneously be charging your cell phone. So those are the, you know, just a little representation of the big variety of projects. And we're excited about, you know, what's going to be funding when we go live with the mayor's page.
I think the potential is there. Once we get Kickstarter up and going and really start promoting it well, I think people will really start to understand the utility of it, and it will really grow from there. So I think once we get it up, it could really take off and really benefit a lot of creative ideas out there.
Yeah, we're hoping it can be a boost, you know, in a way that, you know, we have get great access, we have this place to distribute information, and this is one of the ways we can really make a, you know, hopefully a positive difference, particularly for our, you know, creative community.
And future goals, what would you ultimately like to see out of this Kickstarter page?
Well, we'd like to see more great projects get funded, and, you know, I think for those of us who live here, this might be a little bit of a secret for folks out of area, but we know that Salt Lake City has a great creative community. Certainly, you all at Slug Magazine are well aware of that, but it, you know, I don't think Bianca had mentioned how we were somewhat inspired by curating a page by Portland Mayor Adams when they started curating a page. You know, it's one of the cities we kind of watch among quite a number, but we thought, oh, that's a cool idea. Maybe that works for us. And whereas Portland gets all this cred, you know, nationally for being this town of creatives, you know, a lot of people may not realize what a vibrant and growing creative community we have. So we want to be a part of growing that and putting it on the map.
Bianca, where can people find out more information about this? What's the Kickstarter URL? And tell us more about the Twitter account and website that the mayor's office has.
The Kickstarter page can just be accessed from our main website, which is www.slcgov.com. From there, you will be able to also access our social media feeds. But we are on Twitter, /SLCMayor's office, and also on Facebook as well as under Ralph Becker. So you'll definitely be hearing more about that on Twitter and on Facebook.
That's great. Anything else you folks would like to close with? Any final information?
We're just really excited about the project and hope people will come check out the curated page and be a part of supporting our creative community.
Well, thank you, Art and Bianca, for joining us today. A lot of really great information.
Right. Thanks, JP.
Thanks for having us.
Michael Gross and the Statuettes is an indie rock band from Salt Lake City. Michael Gross started the project in 2008 after the Brobecks disbanded. With members of his old band and new musicians, he recorded his solo debut, Tales from a Country Home. Since then, the band has released 3 EPs and 1 full-length album, Telepath, in the fall of 2010. It's a really good band. I've seen them a few times live. You should check them out. The current lineup is Timmy Kelly on guitar, Ben Johnson on bass, and Andy Patterson on drums. From their second full-length, Sunset Beach, that came out in August of 2012, here's Don't Let Me Down.
Right or wrong, side.
That was Michael Gross and the Statuettes from their second full-length album, Sunset Beach, with Don't Let Me Down. As of this episode, the band are currently on a Western U.S. tour with the Pocket Rockets. For more info on the group and their tour, visit them online at michaelgrossmusic.com. Today I'm joined by one of our favorite recurring guests, Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp. It is the community review site for all things interesting, restaurants, businesses, whatever you need. They've got it online at yelp.com. He's a community ambassador / Yelp wrangler. I don't know. What's your title again? I should know this.
Community manager. Community manager.
There we go, man.
And that I'm one of your favorite guests, or at least that you'll tell me that. I mean, a lot.
Yeah, I mean that for real this time. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite things yet again, food. And I'm going to dive into the world of small plates with you. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right, start us off, please.
Well, yeah, so today we're going to talk about small plates, or tapas, for those of you fancy pants out there. So, I really like this concept in dining. We're seeing a little bit more in Salt Lake, and probably, I don't know, nationwide, if I can tell you, if I can be the trend talker here. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing it all over the place, and it's just that instead of ordering one big thing and being kind of married to that one that one big dish, you have a lot of different tastes on the table, which is kind of exciting. So there's some folks who were doing it, and I guess we'll just dive into first one. We'll talk about Pipa. Pipa is 4 out of 5 stars after 40 reviews. It's on the west side, 118 North, 900 West. Okay, so it's mostly these small plates. Tony L. actually shouts out not just the small plates, but also the ambiance. Says cozy dim lights, cool ambiance and music. The mood is perfect. Did you bring your date? And it is. It's this old like strip mall location. They really have gone in and kind of sexied it up. It's Asian fusion tapas, or small plates, so not traditional Spanish tapas. The Yelper shout out the aubergine stacks, which is eggplant rounds layered with vegetable ravioli, then drizzled with a savory black bean sauce. There's some pulled pork sliders or tacos that are really good, so Pipa.
I want all of that.
Yeah, and you can have it, because again, it's small plates, so you order, they're as the name suggests, smaller plates, which means they come with a little smaller price tag, and you can get a few of them and try them out. Moving down the list, a real popular small plates place in town, Meditrina. 4 out of 5 stars after 59 reviews. That's right there by Spring Mobile Ballpark, 1394 South West Temple. And it's probably one of the more well-known small places in town. One of the items that Yelpers really shout out is the panko and bacon crusted pork tenderloin. I'm gonna let you think about bacon around pork, right? So really good things are happening. And Gail J says tenderloin crusted in bacon that's drizzled in bacon dressing. I mean, seriously, people.
That sounds like a literal heart attack. It's a delightful heart attack.
But it's not real heavy. It's not a real heavy dish, but it is delightful and salty and bacony and all things delicious. They also have some lighter stuff. I've had their Granny Smith apple and arugula salad. It's grilled apples, arugula, gorgonzola, walnuts, balsamic vinaigrette, and they also can do it in a gluten-free, that is a gluten-free a vegan option. So. And then dessert, Drunken Oreos, which is Oreos in wine. Come on.
I was there last week. I did not try the Drunken Oreos, but some of their other dishes. I like their risotto cakes with the wild mushroom. That was really awesome. I tried a similar dish this week somewhere else, and let's just say I was disappointed. I wanted to go back to Meditrina. Also, side note about that, it was a first date, and it went real well. So if you want to impress a lady and or a gentleman and or something in between, take them to Meditrina.
No, I absolutely agree, because it's a really small restaurant, and so it's cozy. There's a little bit more ambient noise, and so you can have kind of more intimate conversation, because, you know, you get lost in that when everybody else is talking around you. So, nice work. Yeah, always thinking you. And you spent less because it's small plates, so really you went all around.
I won. Yeah. I won in several ways, Jeffrey. Let's just. I should point out that Meditrina was the first place in town I went to for the small plate experience a few years ago, and I've loved it ever since. Unlike some restaurants, they've been able to maintain the quality.
Yeah, it's an accessible place. It doesn't get too fancy or frou-frou. A lot of times, it's either like if it's authentic tapas, you're going more towards Spanish food, which if you love it, you love it. If you don't, you may not be wild about those kind of flavors. But Meditrina is really accessible, bacon. right? I mean, it's a great kind of intro into that world. Moving on, speaking of Spanish food, though, someone who is really trying to do it very authentic, tapas at Finca. Finca's a pretty new restaurant here in town. It was opened by the same people who have Pago there at 9th and 9th. And Finca's at 1291 South, 11th East. 3.5 out of 5 stars. Already 29 reviews on Finca. This is what Fiona H. has to say. And I think it's not just indicative of Finca, but of kind of the whole small plates model. She says, "It's true that portions are small, but for me this is a feature, not a bug. You need not choose one thing from the menu because with such small plates you're able to try 4 or 5 things every time. Also, I like the way they balance meat with vegetables." So, yeah, I mean, Fiona's right. I mean, it's tough because our mindset a lot of times is like, well, I'm going to go get this thing, and then you order something from one of these small plates places, and it comes and it's kind of small, and you just really have to adjust your mind to tasting different items as opposed to, like, diving into a giant plate. But if you're after something at Finca, obviously it's Spanish, very true to Spanish cuisine, trying to get a stuff locally and balance that with stuff that they actually import from Spain. So olives, a lot of Yelpers shouting out the olive plate, albondigas, which is the lamb, meatballs, and of course they do a wicked churro.
Wait, did you say churro?
I did say churro.
All right, I'm going there.
Done. So those are some of the really, I guess, kind of prominent small plates places in town. There's other places, though, that have a healthy small plate menu. Cafe Madrid comes to mind there. Another Spanish place in their brand new digs, 5244 South Highland Drive, 4 out of 5 stars after 24 reviews. Get the pulpo, which is Spanish for octopus.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you have it. And they also do a whitefish stuffed pepper. Check out their new place. It's really, really, really nice. We've talked about Eva before. I had an aunt named Ava, so it always comes out Ava for me.
It's one of my favorites in town.
Yeah, and they do have a pretty healthy small plates portion of their menu.
And good pizza.
Right, good pizza.
Fired.
Have you tried the Brussels sprouts?
I get it every time I go. I'm serious. I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
They reinvented Brussels sprouts to me. And since I made a variation on the dish, not quite as good, but it's a great recipe.
At home, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brussels, for bonus points to your listeners, Brussels sprouts, it actually has an S on it. So we always think it's Brussels sprouts. It's Brussels sprouts.
Well, of course. I would not make
that mistake. File that away. 317 South Main Street is Evo. Cafe Niche, also a really great small place. They do vegetables so well, man. I went there just several months ago. It's 4 out of 5 stars after 44 reviews. We had the roasted beets with goat cheese and another Brussels sprouts, if you haven't tried them.
Niche. Not there.
Oh, yeah. Get over there. They're shaved.
Oh, nice.
And really, like, so they're not like, you know, a lot of people have a hard time with the texture and just the chew of a Brussels sprout, but man, they do it right. 779 East, 3rd South on Niche. And then finally, Plum Alley. They're sort of playing around with their menu and they bring some small plates in. They have some entrees as well. 4 out of 5 stars after 47 reviews. 111 East, 300 South. Get the steam buns. So it's Asian. It's like a playful approach to Asian street food, kind of. So some Southeast Asian influence in there. The steam buns, the pork belly satay, the duck salad, stuff like that.
I had all three, actually, last time I went. And the ramen, and it was an amazing meal experience. Those are some of the best dishes there, but the ramen's unbelievable. And it's all, you know, it's not big portions. It was definitely enough for two people. And we were happily and most contentedly full.
Yeah, and for everybody listening who hasn't tried real ramen, not college ramen, but real ramen, yeah, it's really kind of making a very strong surge, especially in the Pacific Northwest right now. A lot of noodle houses opening up and taking creative twists on ramen. It's a little saltier, but the ramen at Plum Alley had that poached egg on top.
Yeah. That was key, man.
Oh, poach it, baby.
You gotta put an egg in your ramen or else you've never really lived. I always do the you know, egg drop myself in ramen soup, and I didn't know that was actually something people did. I was just the poor, you know, starving college student route. Yeah. But they do it, and they do it professionally at Plum Alley way better than I could ever make.
So. Yeah. Put an egg on it.
Put an egg on it, man.
Yeah, so that's, you know what, if you haven't tried the Small Plates experience, we have plenty of options here in Salt Lake. Go out. It's great to go with friends and pass a ton of stuff around the table. Everybody shares the bill. It's a great night. Makes a great date, a little more intimate, tasty, kind of an experience. Spend some time. Any of these, you know, and there's more out there. There's more restaurants out there who are sort of offering some of these smaller plates for people who don't want to walk away feeling like they've been kicked in the gut, right? Like, you want to just taste some things and go home happy.
And where might people find these sorts of restaurants?
I think there might be, I think there's a website. Yeah, go to yelp.com, type in small place, type in tapas, or type in Spanish food, or, you know, whatever, and it's going to bring up stuff that's been reviewed by people just like you. Get the real deal on what's going on in Salt Lake City, of course, at yelp.com.
Hey, thanks, Jeffrey, and as Jeffrey mentioned, you can go to his website. He also has a weekly newsletter that's really helpful. We'll talk about different events and things going on, so check that out, and thanks again, Jeffrey.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This portion of the show is one of the most exciting for regular listeners because we're joined by Esther Maronio, managing editor of Slug Magazine. She does the weekly daily calendar rundown with me. We talk about upcoming events and what's going on in the city so you can know and get your scene cred. Are they still doing those scene cred points?
Oh, definitely.
If you know what's going on, and even if you're not going to the event and you can tell people, they're like, oh my god.
You just upload your photo to Instagram, yep. And you immediately get like 10 points.
10 points. Let's start with Tuesday, as we usually do. August 21st, Library Square Amphitheater, one of my favorite features in town, this music series.
Yeah, the music at the Main. And it's a weekly thing, and this particular day is hosting Birthquake and the Suicycles. And it's really awesome because it's outside and it's free. You can just sit in the amphitheater and the acoustics are great. Enjoy some good local music.
And those are two really good bands to see for free. If you were, you know, anxious about seeing some rock and roll, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, go check them out for free first, you know, before you belly up. I'm sure you'll be much pleased. Is that a real phrase? You'll be many pleased.
Now.
You'll be many pleased. And Wednesday, August 22nd, Theophilus London, Dope Thought, and The Vibrant Sound, as well as Flash and Flare, will be at Urban Lounge. That's some hip-hop. Flash and Flare's a DJ, and the rest is a hip-hop collection. Sampler plate, if you will.
Rap.
Rap? Is that what you're calling it? Rap?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with any of those rock and roll groups there that are the hip hoppers?
Theophilus London. I've heard his name a lot. I bet I've heard it on accident, but I haven't sought it out.
Well, for all the hip hop heads in town, go check that out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. What's going on Thursday, though? That's my big question of the day, Esther.
Well, on Thursday, we have a birthday.
What? Whose?
It is one of our videographers, Slugger, that's what he goes by, and he has filmed a whole lot of events for us, including he's usually our videographer for Summer of Death, and he actually won an award this year for that, for last year's Summer of Death.
That's cool, yeah, and he's out and about. He'll shoot for ESPN and do extreme sports stuff for that company, so he's got his credentials. He's a really awesome guy, and congratulations on your recent nuptials. You know what I mean, Slugger.
Yes.
And Saturday, August 25th, the Earthwell Festival, which is at the Jordanelle State Park. Are you going to go to that because you're a vegan?
It's a little bit far away from me, but it sounds cool. They're going to have a lot of organic food and some booths and some recreation and solar music.
Now, this is a side note. Yes, by the way, they're this big solar-powered machine. But about veganism, as my mom calls it. Actually, she doesn't even know that word. She just calls them vegans. Is it wrong to think that all vegans are environmentally conscious, or is that dumb? Vegans, right?
I'd say that people have their own reasons for going vegan. Some of them might be more environmental than others. Some of them might be more for animal rights. Some might be for just plain selfish health reasons.
Selfish health.
But whatever your reasons, I think that being vegan is kind of helping the environment, whether you're doing it on purpose or not.
And there's another event on that day, Saturday, August 25th, a stateroom show, which is a venue.
Yeah, I really like shows at the stateroom. I didn't go until kind of earlier this year, and it's very kind of relaxed and very grown up. and also the sound is amazing.
Yeah, they do a really good job. The seating is old church pews. I got to interview those guys a year or two ago, and they know what they're doing. They've both booked for major festivals and events, and that's why they have such a good lineup and why you're experiencing all the good positive vibes when you're in there, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and the two bands that are playing that night should be pretty good. It's Head for the Hills and Brown Bird, and they're both kind of alternative folk music. You know, it's kind of like folk people with lots of tattoos.
The new trend that's all the rage is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess. I've heard Brown Bird, and they're really awesome, so.
We got an endorsement from us there. They're going to use that as one of their pull quotes on their next press release, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard them, they're pretty good. Is that what you exactly said exactly?
Yes.
All right, thanks again for joining us, Esther. Before you go, will you tell us where we can find out more information about the Daily Calendar and how people can get us their info?
Yeah, so there's a few places. Number one, you can pick up a physical copy of the magazine any place cool. Turn to the back page and we have a listing of events. And you can also download our iPhone app and you can get access to our current episode of Sound Waves along with the latest issue, and it directly connects you to our voicemail line.
What, all that in one app?
Yes. And it's free.
I was going to say, that would cost upwards of $5 to $10. Are you telling me I can get that right now?
You can get that for free. You can also go to our website, slugmag.com, and right there on the front page, there is a little calendar, daily calendar. And if you would like to send us your dates, you can email dailycalendar@slugmag.com every month before the 25th of the month prior to your event. Or you can also tweet Soundwaves.
I love getting tweeted events because then we can retweet it for people. Even if it doesn't make the calendar or it's too late or something, tweet us what's going on and we'll retweet it.
Yeah, and maybe you'll talk about it because you know you want us to talk about it. Because if we say it, then it's going to be legit and everyone's going to be there.
Well, we're a publication, yeah. People are going to know it's real.
You'll get more street cred points.
Oh, for sure. At least 10. At least 10. Well, thank you very much, Esther. And go have fun with the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Timmy the Teeth is a folk artist from Cedar Hills, Utah. His real name is Timothy George, and with additional help from Jordan Clark, George mainly performs music as a singer-songwriter on acoustic guitar with occasional arrangement behind his music. In May 2012, he released his debut album, White Horse, on North Platte Records, with the physical release of the album in June. From that release, here is We Are Many.
Foretold calamities of earthquake, tsunami. Airplanes and buildings and smoke screens unfolding, bodies burning as the death count is rising. The smell predicts a city under rubble of stone and brick. I am only me. Many lifts where you stand. This way we will carry volcanoes and tornadoes, floods and fountains, moving mountains. Wars, rumors of wars. One horse, two horse, three horse, four. Famine and feast, dominion over the beast. As your prophet lays for 3 days dead in the street. No rainbows, the cock crows. Behold a white horse and his great sword. Thank you.
That was Timmy the Teeth with We Are Many off his debut album, White Horse. For more info on the project, visit him online at facebook.com/TimmyTheTeeth. CAWS, the Community Animal Welfare Society that takes in homeless pets and keeps them until a home can be found, avoiding euthanasia as much as possible. The volunteer staff works with Animal Rescue and other agencies to help control the pet population, providing pet spaying and neutering, while also providing foster homes for animals in danger of being euthanized and an adoption service for those looking to help out any needy pets. Here's Megan Kennedy speaking with Sarah Hansen.
Give us a rundown about CAWS and why it's different from a normal animal shelter like the Humane Society or the Best Friends of our Best Friends Animal Shelter.
We're actually very close. We have the same mission as Best Friends and No More Homeless Pets. We are different from a shelter because we pull the dogs from the shelters that are on high kill lists. So once they get on the high kill list, we go in and pull them. Our rescue group main focus is to stop the unnecessary killing of dogs and cats in the state of Utah and obviously all over the place, but to start with Utah. Once we pull them into our program, they're safe for life, which means if we adopt a dog out or a cat out and they have a problem with it, we take the dog or cat back. We are no kill, which means they're safe with us. We've got trainers that we work with that helps get them through any behavioral issues as well as foster homes. We don't have a shelter, so we're different in the aspect that we do not have an actual facility. We rely on the general public to open their home to an abandoned animal until they're adopted.
And how did CAWS get its start?
It actually started with two women who started trapping feral cats and fixing them, and that kind of morphed into, you know, keeping the babies and adopting them out. And they got, in 1994, they got their 501c, which made them nonprofit.
So 1994 has been going on a while then.
Correct. So we've been around for a long time.
Wonderful. Now, you mentioned in your last answer the high kill list. What makes this an animal put on that list, I guess? Is it aggression? Is it a type of their breed, maybe?
It's actually all dependent on each individual shelter. Some shelters only hold them for 5 days, irregardless, and then they will euthanize them.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, if they don't pass the behavioral test, they're pretty much euthanized right away. If they are a certain breed, doesn't really matter as much. It simply is a behavioral test when they come through the door. If they pass the behavioral test, they usually go up for adoption, and at that point, they're up for being taken. For example, West Valley Shelter right now is completely full, and so unfortunately they have to start euthanizing just simply for space because the dogs start doubling up, cats start doubling up, and there's no place to put them, unfortunately. But yeah, there's a lot of rural shelters that if it's an owner turnover, they just get euthanized instead of dealing with them.
How many non-kill shelters are there in Utah? Are you guys the only one?
There's a lot of different rescue groups. There's a difference between a rescue group and an actual shelter. The shelters are usually city run, which means, you know, they're taking the general population's dogs and cats in, whereas a rescue group is usually all volunteer based.
Okay.
So there are multiple different rescue groups. There's breed specific rescue groups. There's rescue groups that just take Labradors or just take Rottweilers, that type of stuff. It has to be somebody set up specifically to pull them out of the shelters, otherwise they just go to the city shelters.
Okay. And what's caused the need for a no-kill organization? Did you guys just notice an influx of these problems not being dealt with properly, or at least not efficiently?
Well, definitely not efficiently, but it all comes back down to spay and neuter. If people are not fixing their dogs and cats, they're reproducing, and there's no place for them to go. And unfortunately, most people who go out and get a puppy are not educated enough or don't take the time to train them and to make them a part of their family. They keep them out in the backyard, and as a result, the dogs have behavioral problems. And so the average age of a dog in a shelter is 6 months to 2 years, and it's because they've just
given up on the puppy.
Yeah, they've given up on them.
Wow.
The statistics for Utah that came out, that No More Homeless Pets published in Utah, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary published for last year, 29,990 dogs and cats were euthanized in Utah alone, which averages out to be about 82 dogs and cats every single day. So I think our mission is to make it public knowledge. It's been going on for years, but it's been behind closed doors. We want to open the doors. We want people to be aware that there's a problem, and we want people to opt to adopt rather than buy from a breeder or a pet store.
I've heard the statistic that 80% of dogs are in shelters due to behavioral problems that are normally fixable through proper training.
Correct.
So do you guys do any training of your own on the facility, or do you with your foster parents?
We
I guess not in the facility, but do your foster parents kind of encourage
Correct.
That with their new parents?
We do. We actually require it.
Oh, wonderful.
Our adoption fees are $150. 50 of that is a training deposit.
Mm.
Once they do training with that dog, they get that $50 back.
That's great.
We feel like the training is a huge key for bonding and for setting ground rules of who's in charge. Dogs want structure.
Yeah.
They want to feel comfortable. They don't want to feel like they have to do anything to, you know, control the situation. And that's where people go wrong, is without training and without enough exercise. I mean, you know, they're living creatures that demand attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any specific trainers or training facilities you work with?
We do. We use John Andis quite a bit. Okay. He actually does a free foster class for us every Sunday, where all of our foster moms are welcome to come.
That's wonderful.
They come and they get free training for those foster dogs, where we can actually figure out a lot more about them, which allows us to get them the best possible forever home.
Or do you see it as a temporary fix, or is there a viable solution to the problem?
I think the solution is obviously education and spay and neuter. Unfortunately, we can pull 10 dogs from the shelter today, and tomorrow there will be 10 dogs that replace those dogs in the shelter. There's a lot of great programs out there right now. Normal Homeless Pets is offering free spay and neuters for cats in Orem at their Orem clinic, as well as $20 spay and neuters for pit bulls and chihuahuas, and that goes through August 31st. So we see the inherent problems with certain breeds, and it's not the breed that is the problem, it's the breeding of the breed. So oftentimes you'll go into a shelter and there will be an absorbent amount of pit bulls and chihuahuas over other breeds. And so we just want to educate people. We want to educate people that dogs should not be used for profit, that they should be part of your family.
So pit bulls, I know, I mean, that would make sense only because it seems like they're the new aggressive dog of the week that people are touting against. Why chihuahuas?
Just because they're overbred.
Just what?
There's just so many of them. There's just so many of them. And they still demand, even though they're small, they still demand the same attention as a 150-pound dog. They still need to be exercised and walked and trained. And so they're equally as abandoned as a big dog.
Right. So does cost take in every pet, or is there a decision process made?
There is a decision process. We need to be conscious of what we're taking in so that when we turn them back out into the public and they're adopted, they succeed. We want our pets to succeed. We want them to go into a home. And we also want the humans that are adopting them and opening their homes to them to succeed. It's important to us that we're conscious if they have any severe issues, that we're pulling the ones that are more adoptable. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we can't save them all.
Right.
We wish we could.
Yeah, for sure. You guys do work with a lot of feral cats. What is that like in terms of, I don't know, a lot of people may not have experienced kind of hanging out with a feral cat and the differences in their need and their care. So what do you guys do that's different to help these cats that maybe aren't super comfortable with people that are just so wild?
Sure. They live in colonies, so there's multiple. If you see someone feeding a feral cat, there's most likely multiple cats that you don't see. What we offer, as well as Normal Homeless Pets and Best Friends, is a voucher, which you can trap the cats at night, you get them fixed, and then they turn them back loose.
Okay.
And there's actually people that go and feed the colonies and take care of them and watch them.
Right.
So they're not actually, they're trying to get away from euthanizing them.
Right.
They're trying to trap, spay and neuter, and then release.
So likewise, it's not, you're taking the emphasis off it, euthanization, but you're also not trying to make them kind of what they can't be, which is a normal house cat that's calm.
Correct. Most of them will never, you know, go to that point. However, the kittens are different.
Mm-hmm.
If kittens are pulled from their mama early enough and they're around that affection, they can be
so
just
the
fine.
Can kind of be saved as far
correct.
As
correct. Correct. And there's a lot of ferals that slowly start trusting humans over time that have been converted, but the majority of them are pretty wild and stay wild.
Huh, interesting. Since starting, how many animals has Cause been able to place in homes?
Thousands. I think this year, our number of dogs was 294 already.
That's awesome.
So every year is better. The internet has been a huge tool in being able to get the dogs' pictures out, cats' pictures out. Education, so that people are wanting to adopt and choosing to adopt. So our numbers have been going up.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific adoption stories that maybe on those rough days kind of keep you going, like the good setups or the...
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the stories that, the ending of the stories. We pulled a hound dog from a rural shelter named Henry. He was 10 years old. He was kept outside his whole life. He was skinny. He had lumps all over him. We took him in. We got him neutered. We got all his lumps taken care of. And he was adopted by a great man who sends us updates all the time. And Henry's gained all his weight back, and he's just part of the pack. And,
good.
You know, oftentimes people are hesitant to adopt a senior, mm-hmm. but they make excellent pets. I am currently fostering an 11-year-old chocolate lab.
Wonderful.
And she fits right in. You know, she knows the routine. I don't have to train her to do anything. She already knows. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. She's got years left in her, and people often overlook those dogs, even though if you're looking for just a companion and a couch potato, a senior is the way to go.
Yeah,
you know,
the puppy stage is all worn out.
Correct.
Are you pretty frequent as far as fostering? Like, do you only take dogs or cats personally?
Personally, I only do dogs and cats. I usually do only dogs. I usually take the big dogs. It's harder to find foster homes for the big ones.
Right.
I've fostered personally over 40 dogs that have come into my home. I've got great facilities that help me. I've got a doggy daycare close to my house that allows the dogs to come and play and socialize and get all that energy out that they've been building up. So that's been a wonderful facility for me to use. And then I've often done bottle fed kittens where I'll bottle feed them and then we get them all fixed and then they go on their way.
I've been around one kitten that small and it was just the best ever. That'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, they're a lot of work. They're a lot of work.
For sure. Kittens,
it's worth it.
Do you guys work with any sanctuaries like Cause for Paws or any of the, the smaller organizations?
Cause for Paws is actually very similar to what we do. They pull also off of the high kill list and they're doing their mission is pretty much exactly what ours is. So there's multiple different groups, but all of us are in it for the same reason, and that is to end the unnecessary euthanasia.
Basically, your message takeaway is spay and neuter is what's going to save these guys in the end.
Absolutely. If you're going to take on a dog or a cat for that matter, do your research. Make sure that you're picking a dog that is going to fit your lifestyle, that you're prepared to do some training, and that you have a yard if necessary for an active dog. If you're looking for an older dog, great. They're going to be way more chill in your house. If you're ready for a puppy, excellent. There's plenty of them. There's wonderful dogs out there. My advice would be to look at your life plan and make sure that you have enough time for that dog from now until 20 years, however long they live to be, and commit to that animal from start to finish. The statistic is only 1 in 10 dogs find a home from start to finish.
That is really, really depressing. Jeez.
Absolutely, because the majority of people who love animals would pull off the side of the road to help one.
Right.
So in that aspect, spread the word. Help us find homes for each one of them and end that euthanasia, because the problem is too big. It's sad. It's a tragic phenomenon, and we need to stop it. So.
And if anybody's interested in becoming a foster parent, can they get in contact with you? And what's your process like for finding new foster parents?
Yeah, absolutely. They go to our website, cause.org. There's a foster application on there. They can email me at sarah.cause@gmail.com. We can get them set up. A foster home is required to provide shelter and food and love and compassion. We provide the spay and neuter, the vaccinations, and the avid chip. Foster parents have the option of who that dog or cat goes to. They get to see all applications.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah. We do applications before anybody adopts. We screen people. We want to make sure that they're ready for a commitment. Like I said, we don't want them to fail. And we want our foster parents to have a good experience.
Right.
My personal dogs have been wonderful. They know when a new dog comes in, they accept them.
Wonderful.
And it's been good for them. It's been good socialization for them that they tolerate. They can tolerate a lot. And they also teach the scared ones. It's cool. You know, life is good. People love you.
Aww.
And you can find a home too.
How awesome.
For more information on CAWS, its programs, donations, adopting or fostering a pet, and ways to help out the program, visit them online at caws.org. Thanks for listening to another edition of Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. The Melvins are gearing up to set a world record by playing a show in every U.S. state and Washington, D.C. What are your thoughts on their record attempt? Call in and tell us what you think of the band's challenging tour. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. with associate producers Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done and technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's episode, Hank III, Weller Bookworks, Book Collector Salon, and Epic Brewing.